Welcome to this edition of the Friday Feature Interview of the Week from WNCW during Morning Edition. I'm your host, Paul Foster. Our subject matter for this week, collaborative family law, a no-court alternative. There is a WNC collaborative law group, which leads us to our guests for this week, lawyers Heidi Stewart and Teresa Weber. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would each of you begin by telling our audience about yourself and where you're located?
I am practicing in the Asheville area, but I also practice in other counties surrounding Asheville. And I have been in practice for 19 years now. I practice in the area of family law, elder law, and estate planning and administration currently. And I am also a certified Superior Court mediator and family financial mediator.
I am an attorney working out of Henderson County. I'm at the law firm of Prince, Youngblood, and Massagee. I started out working in Minneapolis in a kind of large corporate law firm when I first graduated from law school back in 2003. Now, here at a smaller law firm, doing a lot of family law, some employment law. I'm also a certified Superior Court mediator, and I have been trained and in practicing collaborative law here since about 2012.
When did the group first form and explain its intent?
So like I said, I first came to collaborative law in around the 2011-2012 time frame, and I had a hard time finding people locally who even knew what it was, let alone attorneys who were actually practicing it. But I did hook up with a group that had started up in Asheville area that was trying to kind of jumpstart collaborative law in the area. It didn't persist very well, but one of the attorneys I met up there, her name is Barbara Davis, was still practicing actively. And so after I got trained, she and I were kind of the two that I was aware of in the area who could help clients with this process. And so we did have a lot of cases together over the first few years. But it was real frustrating to me to have only one other option for clients. Barbara is wonderful, and I certainly think she's a great option, but sometimes Henderson County folks would not want to travel to Buncombe and vice versa. So I just started talking about it with other attorneys locally when I would be at court or just out and about, and I started to realize that there were others around who were interested in it and who might want to get trained. So in 2015, I had a trainer from Atlanta come up and put on, for us it's called a CLE or continuing education, to get some more people, lawyers in the area, trained in collaborative law. So we had about 15 lawyers at that time come to the training, and it was such a great experience for everyone. It's really attorneys who first learn about collaborative law who are really inclined to practice that way. It can be such an amazing experience to kind of finally find collaborative law as a way to practice, because litigation can be very difficult, even from a professional perspective, not just for the clients sometimes. Everybody wanted to kind of be more formal about how we network and promote this process locally to see if we can't get more people to know what it is and to provide it to others. So we formed with the mission of promoting the use and growth of collaborative law in Western North Carolina, and we meet on a monthly basis, and we're trying to get the word out.
Let me ask this question, and either one of you certainly can jump in here. I understand that each contributor or lawyer that's associated with WNC Collaborative Law has been specifically trained for this.
Yes, that's correct, Paul, because we come out of law school with this litigation model where you are advocating for a client and there's a win-lose sort of way of looking at it. And with the collaborative practice, the members who are engaging in it basically sit down at a table with their lawyer. They each have a lawyer and sign what's called a participation agreement, in which they agree that they will use their best efforts to settle their issues outside of the court setting. And if any of the information that is gathered in that collaborative process, cannot take that and use it in a court proceeding, nor can they subpoena the attorneys to testify as to what was discussed in that. Protected environment is basically what the collaborative process creates. In the marriage context, many people don't realize that marriage is a contract, and the terms of a contract can change because the laws change and because they might move to a different state. But in the collaborative practice arena, we're looking at divorce not as a legal issue, but we do give legal advice, but also because it's a personal relationship issue that has far-reaching consequences.
We're discussing collaborative law with the WNC Collaborative Law Group on this week's Friday feature from WNCW.
Attorneys have to think about their approach to problem solving because we are trained. It's pretty much hammered into you in law school, at least it was when I was in law school, about the adversarial process being the highest, best way to get to a resolution because you've got two attorneys zealously representing their clients and, you know, you kind of duke it out until somebody wins. And what I found when I was engaged in that process, and I still do litigation and family cases when the collaborative process isn't viable for the participants for whatever reason. But it's not a first resort for me. It's a last resort for me with clients. I have to tell you that there are opportunities for settlement in litigation. There are many good litigators who solve their cases through settlement during the litigation process. And certainly the court system tries to encourage dispute resolution and mediation along the way. There are definitely avenues for that in the litigated realm. To feel like at the end of the process, they still kind of have their dignity intact. They can still communicate with their spouse, particularly when there's children involved. That's very important. And they feel good about how they got through it.
Would love to hear from both of you, Heidi and Teresa, just to cover some of the things you have been through in providing these services. As you said just a moment ago, Teresa, certainly children come to mind. You are sitting down in a setting that works better for some instead of ending up in a courtroom when you're having to go through things like dividing property, custody of children, getting the two parties on the same page in agreement. Heidi, what are other things that come up sometimes?
Some of the experiences that I've had have been just extraordinary, where a couple will engage jointly a family therapist, meet with them and discuss what would be the best way for them to separate and divorce with regards to the children, attorneys agreeing not to be adversarial and allowing a couple to find solutions in terms that fit their individual lives.
I'll say one thing about it. People always think it's similar to mediation, and there are aspects of it that are similar to mediation. But the benefit that I find clients really like is that they still have an attorney who is 100% duty-bound to keep their interests at heart. So we still represent our clients, even though we're working collaboratively and it's a team effort. We're always acting in our client's best interest. Other types of experts can be engaged, like financial experts. I've certainly, in many cases, had clients go together to an accountant to figure out what are the tax consequences of some of the decisions that they're contemplating. You know, are there different ways they could do it that would be beneficial to both of them or either of them? There's just an attitude of, let's maximize this process for the best outcomes for everyone. And I'll tell you that if it doesn't work out, one of the tenets of collaborative law is that the attorneys who are the settlement attorneys, the collaborative attorneys, have to withdraw if the process breaks down and they have to find different counsel for litigation. And so that means that all of the parties' interests are aligned towards settlement.
Thank you very much for going into details about this, simplifying it for us as we've talked about collaborative law. And if someone wanted to find out more and read about the group, how could they do so when we talk about the WNC Collaborative Law Group?
We have a website. It's wnccollaborativelaw.com.
There's also a Facebook page.
This morning, the Friday feature has been all about the WNC Collaborative Law Group and collaborative law itself. Again, we want to thank our special guest attorneys, Heidi Stewart and Teresa Weber.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Paul.
That's this week's Friday feature interview of the week from WNCW. They're also available as podcasts on our website at wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.